Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, brother, what do you want?
You ain't no kin to me.
That's right, and we ain't your brother. How come you college motherfuckers think y'all run everything?
Hey, is there a problem here?
Big problem.
I heard that.
You come to our town year after year and take over. We was born here, gonna be here, and gonna die here, and can't find jobs because of you.
Yeah.
Right.
Can we go?
Can we just go?
We may not have your education, but we ain't dirt neither.
And ain't nobody said all of that, all right?
You Mission Punks always talking down us.
Look, brother, I'm real sorry that you feel that way, okay? I'm really sorry about that.
Are you black?
Take a look in the mirror, man. Look, man, you got a legitimate beef, all right? But it ain't with us, okay?
Are you black?
Hey, look, man, don't let me question the fact whether I'm black. In fact, I was going to ask your country, Bama ass, why you got them drip-drip chemicals in your head.
Right, goddamn it.
And then come out in public with a shower cap on your head.
Like a fucking bitch.
Who you calling a bitch, bitch?
Well, if the shoe fit. Now, I bet you niggas do think y'all white. College don't mean shit. Y'all niggas. And you gonna be niggas forever. Just like us. Niggas.
You're not niggas.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man, what is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor. All hail funk and lesson. Sweet tongue, grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold. Born in a cosmos where no time and space do exist. Vibe in the midst of the chaos. Mortals label me as a lock.
You're traveling to another radio show. A broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, Diva, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
Season's greetings, ladies and gentlemen. I assure you that the mics will be up eventually. Give us another show or such, and we should have everything running in a copacetic manner. Folks, if you haven't guessed it, this is D. Burke, a.k.a. the Afro Nerd, and this is another fact-finding edition, a special Christmas Eve edition of Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk. Listen, we have about 90 minutes. We have a lot to get through, and we have a call-in number. The call-in number, as always, forevermore, 646-915-9620, 646-915-9620. Feel free to buzz on in with your Christmas Yuletide comments, your questions, your protestations. We don't care. Feel free to buzz on in and just give us your mind. And again, excuse the expletives from the infamous 1987 exchange with Larry Fishburne, pardon me, Lawrence Fishburne, and Sam Jackson with 1987 School Days. Pretty interesting and profound and very prescient exchange. So, without further ado, let's go to some urban alternative, but with a season's greetings twist. This is Deck the Halls, a little bit of Afropunk, but a Christmas Afropunk. Deck the Halls by The Skins. The Skins, we'll be right back. Let's groove.
Thank you.
Deck the Halls, the Skins, courtesy of Afropunk. I would suspect we probably have the funkiest, if not hippest show on the nets, folks. Once again, Afro-Nerd featuring Captain Kirk. Speaking of the Captain, Captain, you need another holodeck with a bit of Christmas cheer. Let's get to it.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Season's greetings. Merry Christmas. Feliz Navidad. Now, after this informational diatribe, some are going to say he's a nutter, he's full of shenanigans, spookism, where is he getting this stuff from? Or maybe he's just too damn scientific for his own good. Right now, let's keep in mind, and this should be self-explanatory by this time, that this show is called Afro Nerd. There's an Afro component, which is self-explanatory, and there's a nerd component. Genius in the name, Afro Nerd. Genius. Now, I'm going to get super nerdonic, made up word, nerdonic, or if you like, uber nerd. Now, we have a Star Wars movie coming out December of 2015. Do not necessarily get your hopes up if they change the dates. This is what the suits do from time to time. But as of now, it's due out December 2015. These years are going fast. So I pondered in a super geek manner. Could we make a Star Wars Jedi? It's on the science that we have today. And I said, let me look at it. Let me glance at it. I didn't spend a lot of time. I always say to Afro Nerd, I have a million of these things running around in my head. I said, let me glance at it. Oh, sure, yes. Information is definitely there. So what I'm going to do with this diatribe, I'm going to remove some of the mysticism, some of the spookism behind the Jedi and what can be done. Now, let's look at some of the Jedi powers. We know they exhibit telekinetic powers. What do we know about telekinesis? All right. We know there's something called the Casimir effect. This is really two unchanged, should I say uncharged, metallic plates in a vacuum that you can make objects repulse, repel themselves, or attract, depending how you adjust the plates. You could look that up, Casimir effect, C-A-S-I-M-I-R, Casimir effect. But the first thing you would say, well, Jedis do not carry plates. At least they don't speak about it in Jedi lore or in the movies. So let's keep going further. Next, according to Russian scientists, particularly their psychotronic programs, something that I mentioned before, and according to Ostrander and Schroeder, these were two people that went to Russia to try to debunk what the Russians were doing with their psychotronic programs, what they were doing with their psychics. And all they did was come back baffled, and they wrote a few interesting books that you could check out, Ostrander and Schroeder. And they documented a lot of the information that was going on there in Russia. Now, according to the Russian psychotronic program, and also according to Ostrander and Schroeder, poltergeist activity that is seen in some young girls is created by the female consciousness. Now, female consciousness in this case is the right word. It's female. throughout the megaverse, male and female get together, and it's the fusion energy. You bring a baby. It's the fusion, all right? It's not fission. Fusion energy, and you bring a new life into being. So the female consciousness has the ability to link up with other females. This is also documented by Carlos Jung, Jung psychology. Mr. Jung had said that the unconscious, subconscious, the collective unconscious of females is different from men. It can link up. This also links up with the Victorian research. According to Victorian research, the mind-soul component weighs 2 ounces. Now, if this is the case, according to the research, women can link into other females' consciousness. Men can't. Men are singular conscious. This means one woman could, say, link into 500 million women based on the research. Okay? Now, that's 500 million times 2 ounces. All right? That gives you 1 billion ounces, and then you divide by 16. So that essentially, according to poltergeist activity, a woman potentially could exhibit with telekinetic forces, based on the research. Now you see why this stuff is suppressed. Let's say roughly 62.5 million pounds of telekinetic force. According to shamanism now, they always say women are more powerful psychically. And this is kind of ironic, because when you watch a lot of these movies and these TV shows, they always show the women doing all these psychic stuff. They don't show the men too much. So there might be some truth there. That's what, according to shamanism, that's what they say. Now, dealing with the female consciousness, it might be possible that with proper training, a woman would be able to exhibit telekinetic powers. Jean Grey, going nuts, going ballistic. Maybe it's good that this stuff is suppressed. Men could also learn to do this, but it would take a man a much longer process. Women could learn much quicker because her consciousness is different from the men. Men are a singular consciousness. So men would have to learn to link up with other female consciousness in order to do it, based on the research from Ostrander and Schroeder, and also based on the research from Russian science psychotronic program. Okay? Now, going further with this now. Where's the captain going with all of this stuff? I told you this would be super geek stuff. Super, super geek stuff. Now, there's other powers that the Jedi exhibits. Something known as remote sensing. You see them stepping into a room and they say, I sense that he's here. Now, we get into one of the most difficult type of science that there is to the average Joe Blow. You get into hyperdimensional torsion field physics, which is Nazi stuff. All right. After the Nazis fell, this information went over to Russia. You could look that up and check that stuff out. You have to dig deep, but it is there. Now, according to hyperdimensional torsion field physics, something called torsion fields. They move 9 billion times the speed of light. Now, first thing you say, if you're a bit scientific, that's impossible due to Einstein's theories of general relativity. Yes, that's correct. But the torsion fields are moving on five-dimensional space. Einstein is four-dimensional space. See the difference there. So that allows... This is the realm of mixoplex. This is the realm of hyperspace for the uninitiated. This means in this realm you can go forward and backwards in time, your awareness. So what the Jedi is able to do is lock on to the torsion field in your mind, based on the research. This is not my research, okay? Lock on to the torsion field in your mind and pick up on your thought process. That's what they're doing. Now, this would take a lot of energy. Now, we link up with the Kirlian photography. Another thing you could look up. None of this stuff I'm making up. It's all there. You've heard me mention it before. When you put a human being in front of Colleen photography, you can see the biophysical body that has your mind-soul component, and you see a physical energy body. Amazing now. So, and the bigger your biophysical energy body, the more energy it has, the more intelligent you will become, according to the research. Now, you see why this stuff is suppressed. Now, there's something else that these Jedis can do. From time to time, they move fast, faster than normal. We see that, and they seem to have more physical strength. So as I said, there's a physical energy body. So how would one be able to improve on that? Well, based on the research, again, according to the Russian psychotronic program, which they got from the German Nazis' hyperdimensional torsion field physics, energy, life force, which links up ironically with someone else, William Reich, Orgone research, which was suppressed. Anyone who was working on it to perfect his research all of a sudden lost their funding, lost their tenure. They don't want you getting this type of information. They don't want you to even be able to improve yourself ever so slightly. So anyway, if one can put the Orgone energy, the life force, into the physical energy body, they theoretically believe that one can live longer and one would get physically stronger. So there you have it, friend. Now also, too, in order to develop these Jedi-type powers, one would think that you would have to live longer than normal. It's not just something that's going to happen right away, because you have to gain energy and have more energy than a normal human. So the 78 to 79 year state mandated life expectancy for humans in this part of the globe would not suffice. You might have to get the humans up to about 300 to 400 years of age. And according to the research, if one put life force into the physical energy body, this is theoretically possible. We don't know, because we don't see anybody running around who's 300 to 400 years. Well, maybe they might be. Who knows? They could be hiding. So at a glance, theoretically, it is possible to make a Jedi Knight or Jedi Warrior. I told you this is going to be very nerdonic, sound like madness, all right, and everything else. Now, when you're dealing with torsion fields, it's very difficult science, very, very, very difficult science. I would say it's on the level of M-theory and string theory. All that other science, biology, chemistry, you know, regular physics, the slightly above average person probably could learn to do that if they put you in the right environment. You didn't have to worry about your mortgage and everything else. You could learn to do that. But M-theory, string theory, and torsion field, hyperdimensional physics, that's for the brilliant people. That's not for the average. You'll look at it and just go, duh. So once again, just to recap, based on the information that's out there and the information that I mentioned, it is theoretically possible to do what the Jedi Knight is doing. Back over to you, Afro Nerd.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the show is called Afro Nerd. So don't be shocked that you will hear this kind of discourse, and we welcome it. You know, something else I was thinking of as you were speaking, Captain, you know, the uncanny Daryl B., who you will be hearing from this Saturday at 6 p.m. for the Grindhouse show, we discussed briefly Ascension Sci-Fi's new miniseries that might end up being a full-fledged series, Ascension. And yes, when you made that gender connection with women having extra dimensional powers or telepathy, clairvoyance, that kind of thing, psychokinesis, I don't want to give too much away, but there's an element to that with one of the female characters that she was being groomed multi-generationally to develop or to manifest those kind of powers. So I find it interesting that it does appear to be somewhat of a meme in modern sci-fi storytelling, that the woman gets the, you know, gets those powers. So I think that's pretty interesting. We're going to be all over the map this evening, ladies and gentlemen. I think before we get into even more discourse, I want to turn things around toward the political. Speaking of women, this is a beauteous woman, of course, I'm going to talk about, Stacey Dash, actress and now Fox commentator. I'm going to defend her. Someone has to. I don't necessarily agree with everything, although we do share the letter C for conservative, but how she's being treated on the surface from the tribe, and we have to be against tribalism, but tribalism is a reality. It is a reality. It's reprehensible. Shouting out Ebony Magazine, I'm pretty sure friend of the show, Sergio Mims, can speak more intimately about Ebony Jet, but how they came out against Ms. Dash, reprehensible, reprehensible. So we'll get into it. Another groove, keeping in line with the theme for the Christmas Yuletide Festivus, which is no such holiday, but I'm going to shout that out anyway. Festivus for the rest of us. Let's go to a quick Yuletide groove. This is Sharon Jones. Ain't no Christmas. No, pardon me. Ain't no chimneys in the projects. The great Sharon Jones. We'll be right back. Let's groove.
Trending African-American actresses of 2014, and Ebony Magazine is weighing in on how and why they were so popular this year. It says Halle Berry is, quote, a 48-year-old beauty who's always on the public radar. It notes Kerry Washington's role on Scandal grabs people's attention, along with the fact that she gave birth to a baby in May.
Wow.
Well, that's
baby.
Different. The magazine says Jennifer Hudson was trending because of her recent Grammy nomination. Woohoo! But when it came to our very own Stacey Dash, who also made the list, Ebony had this to say, quote, her conservative, clueless political slant sparks controversy time after time this year, making Dash notoriously trendy for all the wrong reasons, end quote. Did I do enough voice inflection there for you?
I like it.
Yeah.
Thank
but you're not bothered by this. Why not?
Of course not. If being a Fox News contributor and standing up for what I believe in is wrong, then I will be wrong all day long.
Now, did you hear the amens across the country?
I hope so.
So how tough is it to believe the way you do and be in Hollywood?
It's not tough. I don't feel it's not tough for me. I'm from the South Bronx. You can't bring it.
Does anyone ever try and engage you out in L.A.?
No.
Or even
they would
New
not
York?
Dare. Anything they have to say, it's always behind my back.
Do you think it's hurt your career?
No. No.
People watching this, by the way, may think, oh, Fox is going on and again. You're not talking to somebody, by the way, who's a one-sided kind of a guy. I have certain issues that don't agree with other people, but let's call it for what it is. I live in Los Angeles. It is predominantly and overwhelmingly liberal. And that may be good, that may be bad, but you have to recognize what it is. And it's difficult if you have a different political point of view to live amongst the overwhelming majority that don't like your point of view. And that's bad for America, because we should all be inclusive, and whatever your point of view is, whether you're a conservative or liberal, just have the discussion without putting somebody down. For Jet Magazine to put this beautiful woman, beg your pardon, for Ebony Magazine, and I used to work there, by the way, when I was coming up, for Ebony Magazine or any magazine or any print to put somebody down because of their points of view is heinous. Look that up in your Funkin' Wagnalls.
I mean,
wow.
Stacey, some of the comments, and I've read some of the comments that you get on Twitter, are the most horrific, racist, I mean, intolerant tweets and comments. I mean, you handle it with such grace.
Well, yeah, because I feel like at least I'm opening a dialogue, okay? And I have to stand for what I believe in. I have no choice. That's just who I am.
Do you think that they're upset because you're beautiful, obviously, but you're talented and you're half black, and that really bothers them that you're making these points?
I don't know.
Do you think it's worse?
You don't think about
do you think
it
you
that
get
hard.
It worse
I don't
because
think
do you think you get it worse, the criticism, because of your race and your ethnicity?
Yes. Yes.
I will say this though. Being a lightning rod means you're always hot.
Hey, baby. So what would
we
you
know
say to Ebony talk. Magazine right now?
I would say, Ebony, thank you for the press, because any press is good press.
All right.
Okay, we're back. First of all,
progressives.
Okay, a couple of things. We see you have callers. Callers, hold on for a moment. Let's chop it up, and then we'll get to the phones. The male voice that you heard was Gene Simmons of the legendary rock group Kiss. He's a character. Interesting. I'm trying to verify if he actually worked for Ebony Jet. it says that he worked for Vogue magazine, so maybe he was in that industry, and maybe somehow, you know, maybe he did. I know he's a bit of a character, so I'm intrigued to find that out. Again, for the sake of accuracy, I don't think that the Stacey Dash is a intellectual heavyweight. I mean, that's many of the folks at Fox, and that's probably my main criticism, is that on the conservative side, you do have a thing, such a thing as having intellectual heavyweights of varied ethnicities. You know, as far as on the black side, you know, whether it's a Thomas Sowell or Walter Williams, these folks are intellectual heavyweights. They can really get into this. Maybe even John McWhorter might be, you know, he wouldn't necessarily consider himself a conservative, but he does have a conservative bent. There's quite a few folks that can really kick this. But on the surface, Captain, the part that's just patently offensive to me is that they poke fun at Stacey Dash because she's simply conservative. She has a difference of opinion. And how, and I'm going to channel, shouting out David Carroll, and I shout him out quite a bit. David Carroll he's a YouTube commenter with a following. And he says this pretty frequently. He says that for folks like Stacey Dash, people of color that have conservative mindsets or just independent thinkers, when you go against the grain, with stereotypical or sanctioned black thought, the way that black folks are supposed to think, when you go against the tribe, you're automatically ostracized. And you go, those folks who have this positioning, these black folks that have this kind of positioning, somehow they get put on the coon train, quote-unquote coon train, and they go ahead of the true minstrels. They go ahead of the gangbangers. They go ahead of the minstrel hip-hop artists that are repeatedly disrespecting the black image. Some of these entertainers that are selling your image down the drain. But a person that has a difference of opinion, you notice that the naysayers are ready to go to war with that person. They're able to attack that person again. Oftentimes a singular person with an opinion that everyone is entitled to have, yay or nay, they are entitled to have that opinion, and somehow that raises the ire of the radical red, black, and green black folks, as opposed to the folks that actually do things. That, you know, beyond just saying, they do things that cause great harm and disservice to black folk. So I kind of applaud, you know, listen, I kind of dig Stacey Dash personally, you know, perhaps for reptilian reasons. But even beyond, but beyond that, Captain, but beyond that, you know, for everybody to come out and say, well, you know, she's trending because she has, you know, these wacky conservative beliefs. And some of her castmates from Clueless, you know, the popular film she was in 20 years ago, some of her castmates, oh, you know, that's just Stacey being Stacey. You know, they kind of put her in a box like she's some kind of weirdo. The fact, you know, it's just that black folks just can't have these beliefs. You just can't have it. You have to think in a monolithic fashion. And this is something we talk about constantly. It's the drumbeat for Afro Nerd. And it's not that much more I'm going to say about this because it is what it is. But why does this woman's opinion cause so much distress? Now, as I think about it, we do have to talk about what she said regarding Reverend Al Sharpton. And I'll get into that in a moment. I want the captain to speak on it. And we have to answer this caller. But she did come out and blame the recent and tragic deaths of two NYPD police officers, NYPD cops, their deaths on Reverend Al Sharpton. You just can't do that. That's hyperbole. But then, you know, if you want to deconstruct, or another favorite word, if you want to deconstruct, both sides and the middle do their own form of conversing in a hyperbolic way. I mean, folks are exaggerating. They exaggerate. But I really, you for the sake of accuracy, you just can't blame Reverend Sharpton for what happened to those police officers. But she's doing it, former Mayor Rudy Giuliani. There's a few other folks that are chiming in simply for political gamesmanship. That's what that's all about, for a political edge. But there's really no truth to it. Now I'll get into that in a moment. Captain, let's hear from you, and then we'll go to the calls.
Well, in the black communities, you can't be Republican, you can't be conservative. That's not allowed. You know, you have to have a liberal, democratic type mindset, and that's it. That's it. That's as far as it goes. This is just what it is. That's just what it is. Anything else, that's it. They block you out. They don't want to hear what you have to say. Who are you? You know, they start pointing the finger saying, well, you're just some person that made it. Now you're saying that you're conservative. Now you're saying that you're Republican. You wasn't always that way. What difference does it make? It's a difference of opinion, you know? And we should all be allowed to have different opinions. And then we can have the discourse going back and forth between the different groups. Real easily, real nice. Not this one monolithic type of way of doing things, and that's it, and that's the way it should be done. That hasn't gotten us anywhere as of late. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
All right, let's go to the phones, and I'm just thinking some other things I want to add on to this. Again, once you hear how I dismantle, I love this word, shouting out Carol again, how I deconstruct something that just came down the pipeline, courtesy of the New York Post. And New York Post is a rag. It is a rag. But, Dory, and I'll get into that in a moment. But once I get into this story, I defy someone to call up, send me an email. You can do it. Send us an email, afronerdblog@yahoo.com. You can reach us via Twitter. We have a Twitter presence. Facebook, like us on Facebook. Join our Facebook, afronerd.com. We are all over the place. So let's go to the call, and then I'm going to go a little deeper into this story. 661, welcome to Afronerd Radio, the Christmas Eve edition. Tell us who you are and where you're calling from. What's up?
Hi, my name's James. I'm calling from Ohio.
Yes, what's up? How are you?
Yeah, I just want to say, I've been better, you know. I just want to comment, you know, like you were saying, it's in our community, it's real, you know, it's not respected to be a conservative and to have real strong moral values. And I just want to say that to be fair to us, what do we have for guidance? We look at President Obama, who's a weak leader. He doesn't defend the police. He's against the police. And, in fact, I think that because of the actions of President Obama and Bill de Blasio, those officers, you know, if the president didn't announce his war on police, those officers would still be here. And I just want to say it's sad this Christmas that we have so much hatred in our community towards police and law enforcement, people doing dangerous jobs, have their lives on the line every day. And we got some people in our community, you know, like Reverend Al Sharpton, comes out and says just disparaging remarks, and then he says, oh, no, it wasn't my fault. I don't know what happened. I just want to say that's disingenuous, you know, and us intellectual, conservative black men, we got to stand up and we got to take a stance against this. Yeah, we got to get rid of it out of our community. We got to inform the people how the world really works. You know, there's a lot of community. You know, it's not as racist as Obama and all them. You think about it. And, you know, that's my comment for today. I also want to say thanks for the show. And, I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I can say a couple of things. One, I'm not going to blame Obama necessarily on this. Some of that is hyperbole as far as what he can't.
All right, what happened?
Say it. Pardon me? Hello? I think you're
I can barely hear you over a fucking wire machine.
Shut up. Sorry about
I don't know what's going on there, Captain. I think we heard some cursing and his line is a little screwed up.
All right, continue.
Yeah, well, I don't know the validity of that call, but I know folks go into this whole thing with blaming Obama. Obama really doesn't have that much of a role to play in local politics. And it's false to blame Obama, and let's get into this briefly. If we're going to go into what's happening as far as Obama, I'm not a progressive, I'm not into progressive politics, but we have to be fair about some of the things that are happening around us. Gas is going down, rightfully or wrongfully. I think those of meager means appreciate that. Gas is going down. The unemployment rate is at around 5.8%. The stock market is rocking and rolling. The corporate structures are making money. There has been a renewed vigor toward Cuba. We can go down the line with some things that many might consider to be successes. And actually, I think recently polling has come back to favor President Obama. Obama is the figurehead. It's not even about Obama. And for someone who deals in the political realm, I really want to get away from politics per se. The black community / communities, to be more accurate, because this whole perception of there being one breathing black community is a falsehood. Patently false, and we talk about that all the time. Whether there's Afro punks, Afro nerds, conservatives, Caribbeans, Africans, Afro Latins, Southerners, Northerners, Westerners, Midwesterners, You have all these different types of people, let alone different types of black folk, and yet the ghettoized black person is the has been the spokesperson for a few decades now, Captain. I mean, that's just the way it is. So it's not even about politics. I want to talk about economics. You know, the one of the main drawbacks to black folks being so wedded to the Democratic Party, is that there's never very little discussion of politics. The Asian community, and you can look at this in a general sense, obviously and respectfully, they have a political presence. But at the core of it, they're not putting all of their eggs in one basket politically. They're almost, and I say this very carefully and respectfully, they are, as a community in the Americas, almost apolitical. The engineering game is on point. Their mathematical game is on point. Their business game is on point. We can get into the stereotype of the model minority, and I'm pretty sure that, you know, there is some angst toward having that position. But some stereotypes are based on, in fact, I mean, some of the stereotypes that are levied against black folks, some of it is based in fact. It's not the complete story. Some of it is based in fact. But those folks are not wedded to the political game the way black people. And when you hear black folks, I think I might even have a clip somewhere of Thomas Sowell when he was on Tony Brown's Journal. And he went into this whole thing about this perception of being on the come up through politics by many in the black community. That's just not the way. Making sure that your dollar circulates throughout the community is what's important. Now, I do want to get into something else that the young person who called, I think he's back. I'll try to answer this call briefly, but if it's up to shenanigans, I'm going to have to cut this person because I'm not into that. This is not the place to be joking and whatever. But I do want to get into one thing about the police. Again, getting away from hyperbole and even with what Stacey Dash had said with blaming Reverend Sharpton. I'm no fan of Reverend Sharpton, and Reverend Sharpton is a media invented personality. He's a media invention. But somehow he's positioned to be the leader, the de facto leader of black people. That is patently offensive. It's offensive. But to be accurate, I don't see him as the cause for the police, the tragedy of those two police officers that were killed a few days ago. If you want to go into it, the media has been putting out this trope that white police officers are killing black folk in record numbers, as if black folks, other black males, aren't killing each other in record numbers. We can talk about blacks and whites, the likelihood of being killed within your race. That is true. A white person who might be harmed in a violent manner more than likely will be harmed by someone that looks like him. That is a reality. But the other side of that fact is something that many black folks are uncomfortable with, and I've said it ad nauseum, Captain, is that within your demographic, you're killing each other at a higher rate compared to other demographics. There's no way to get around that. There's no way to get around that. Why are we creating situations in the lower economic strata? Why are we creating situations where these cops have to come in to deal with you? They're coming in to deal with you. Now, on the cover of the New York Post today, Captain, and I want you to explain this to me. And I want you to be honest, and I want listeners to call up and explain how, like, where am I going off the rails with this? This is where we get into, the media are affecting our minds, the programming. We're done if we can't get to a place of independent thinking. Anyway, the cover of the New York Post, today's New York Post, you can look this up. They have a picture of a gangbanger, man of color, shooting at a police car. Now, I don't perceive it to be a picture of the gentleman, I say that in quotes loosely, that killed the police officers a few days ago, but it's some other incident that was a picture. Now, this picture is connected to an 18-year-old, allegedly, reportedly, an 18-year-old gangbanger that was recently freed by a judge in New York, and he was freed, but he was charged initially for terroristic threats against the police, and a manifestation of those threats is a picture, the picture that's on the cover of today's paper, a picture, some gangbanger shooting into a police car. Now, what makes this problematic is you've heard many calls I've made, Captain, to other outlets. Now, I want you to dig in. We're going to take calls. I've made calls, and there's this thing about you have to separate what happens between police officers, and the caveat is white police officers. We have to separate the deaths that occur between white police and black males versus black males versus black males. I am consistently being told I can't put those two in the same category. Although, if it's about Black Lives Matter, if it's only about Black Lives Matter, the circumstances behind the death shouldn't matter. But it does matter for some reason. Now we have a gangbanger shooting into a police car, a gangbanger who was freed by a judge because he showed this picture on the internet trying to foment distress. And I'm sitting there, I'm saying, okay, what are we going to do with this guy? What are we going to do with him, Captain? Because are we to assume that these gangbangers are now freedom fighters now? Because they want to go to war with the cops, but they're normally going to war with their neighbors in the communities. Now I want to understand, what am I saying is so off the rails? I'm being told there's no connection, right, Captain? But we're seeing pictures, and we're seeing like a whole kind of war mindset that these gangbangers want to go to war with cops. And yet, let's say they get their wish, and they somehow dismantle the police. Is that because they want? If that happens, are they to continue going back to what they normally do, which is to dismantle their neighbors? And the collateral damage, the babies and the elderly and other black men that look like them, I'm confused, Captain. Like, before I'm being told I can't make the connection, but we have gangbangers that want to bring it to the cops in lieu of normally bringing it to their neighbors. Can we deconstruct that? What did I say? What am I saying that labels me a nut?
Well, what would label you a nut is that your informational diatribe is more intelligent than the people speaking to you. That's what would label you a nut, because what you said there makes a lot of sense, and it was very intelligent. You know, it makes a lot of sense. And it's pretty much an open-ended question you just asked. You know, that's the reality of it. What you're asking, listen to what you said. What do we do with these guys who normally are running around shooting each other, peddling drugs in their neighborhood, stray bullets missing their target, hitting some baby, hitting some grandmother? What do we do with these guys after they go to war with the police? That's a legitimate question. And it makes everybody look in the mirror, something that the black communities do not like to do. All right, maybe one or two of the black communities that are more progressive, and I mean progressive not from the political standpoint, that do better than the other black communities, that's what I mean, will look in the mirror. But the rest of them, no, that's not what they want to do. And let's all realize something. This is not the first time now that police officers have been shot. This is not even the first time in New York City that police officers have been shot in this manner. Your memory is short. All right, during the 80s, this was happening. Early 90s, this was also happening to a certain extent, too. You know?
Let's realize that. Let's realize that. And I have to share something with you. All right? In my opinion, we have to look at the group consciousness right now. When you see all these protesters, what do you see there? You see Latin, Asian protesters running around all parts of the country, all together. So a lot of people here in America from the group consciousness, something we talk about here on this and on this show, we talk about memes, we talk about consciousness. The group consciousness right now in America, not all of America, but a big part of the group consciousness, not the entire group consciousness, a big part of the group consciousness here in America feels that these officers are out of control. Definitely feel. And I think from that standpoint, that helps to affect reality to a certain extent, especially when these certain individuals are over the edge. All right, the person that shot the officer, that was someone that was on edge already. You know, look what he did with his girlfriend. That was the issue there that he was dealing with. And he just went on and on and on and kept going. That's the reality of the situation. So we have to look at everything with this. We have to look at where we are at the given time here in America. Something else I always talk about. America, it's real easy to have a Ferguson going in several states all at once. Real easy. All right, it could tip over really easy here in America. And this is something we have to look at with this. And this is not the first time this has happened. All right, it's not the first time. Right? So that's the reality of the situation. We have to look at everything. We have to look at everything. And going back to what AfroNerd said, it's really an open-ended question. It's really open-ended. And it's a very intelligent question. Something that these people do not want. They want just emotional rhetoric. Rhetoric at the end of the day. They don't want any intense, intelligent discourse brought to the conversation. And that's what you're bringing, AfroNerd. That's the reality of it. So back over to you, sir.
Thank you. You know, I'm just, I'm dumbfounded by what is happening here. And I'll even go one step further, and then we're going to go to another topic. You know, I can concede something. Not that I necessarily agree. But for the sake of history, I can concede perhaps the Black Liberation Army, the Black Panthers, you know, of the 60s, who were highly educated, perhaps misguided. There was some kind of cogent reasoning behind their warring with the police. I mean, right now, you know, this is not going away. Joanne Chesimard, a.k.a. Assata Shakur, because of the realignment or the hope for realigned relations between Cuba and the Americas, which, you know, the young man that called before was trying to levy against Obama, but for someone who's supposed to be such a lousy president, and I'm saying this from a conservative perspective, there's some things he's doing that make him, A, not such a lame duck, and B, not such a failure. If you were to look at his resume, it doesn't look as bad as one, you know, he's doing, as the Catholic would say, what the corporate bankers want him to do. He's doing his part of the job. And some of the indices that we measure, if we're trying to measure success, healthcare, true socialized medicine, it's nowhere near. It was actually a shout out or shout back to the corporate regime, because it just expanded the customer base or the consumer base for the uninsured. It expanded the customer base. It's not true socialized medicine, and this is for someone that the conservatives would label a leftist or a communist. Since when is a communist so much in bed with the corporate structure, the corporate regime? There's a saying that the jazz soul artist James Ntume would always say. I don't know if he coined the phrase, but I heard it from him a lot. Left wing, right wing, still the same bird. Both sides are in bed with the corporations. Both. There's very little distinction between the left and the right. as far as being on the right. You know, really, if you want to be honest, conservatives and liberals are so really on the right side, on the more closer to the right than they ever were going back 30, 40 years ago. One could say that the liberals are a little to the left of the right side, more so than they ever were. They're not there's a falsehood of there being such a polar opposite kind of thing going on. So anyway, we're in trouble. I'm ringing the alarm. Something is wrong in Denmark, and especially in Brooklyn. Let's pray for the communities, and let's move things along a little bit. Actually, we've got about half an hour remaining, folks. This is the Christmas Eve edition of Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk. The call-in number, as always, as ever, forevermore, 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. What I want to get into now is, actually, we spoke about this on the last show, and it appears to be developing even more so now. You know, there's this talk, and this is a decades-old talk about cultural appropriation, especially when it comes down to music. But, I mean, there's other aspects of that critique. But in the last couple of days, there's been a lot of critique levied toward hip-hop artist Iggy Azalea, and it's coming from someone who kind of sort of shares her namesake, Azalea Banks. I think there's even a controversy as to who had that name first, which might be the real genesis for their beef. Anyway, Azalea Banks, who I might have actually played on this show. I think she is kind of sort of under the Afropunk umbrella. I dig her lyricism. Yeah, she's maybe vulgar here and there, but she's definitely talented and not in the same universe as a Nicki Minaj. There may be some earthiness there. She's a young woman. She's only about 23, 24, and she comes off a little disjointed, not necessarily knowledgeable, but in the chaos, in her chaotic statements that she recently made, I think it was on Hot 97 last week, she went a little bit more in depth with her problem with Iggy Azalea. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know, Ms. Azalea, some may say, really does not pass the litmus test for hip-hop musical authenticity, that she's a manufactured artist, that she's from Australia, and yet she has this southern dialect when she raps, and that she's not really a true lyricist, and everything's just made up, and, you know, her mentor appears to be T.I., so there's a lot of things going on, and I think the last time we spoke about it, one of the criticisms that Azalea Banks levied toward Iggy Azalea was that, you know, she's new to this hip-hop genre, you're part of the quote-unquote hip-hop community, and yet you're not speaking up about these police brutality cases involving black men dying. Okay. I have my own thoughts. I'm sure the captain has his own thoughts. But let's say that someone should be speaking up. I don't think we should jump way across the aisle to Iggy Azalea when there's a whole lot of males and females of color in the hip-hop genre game that aren't saying anything. Talking loud, saying nothing, as the great James Brown would say. So you can't jump across the line to Ms. Azalea. And now there's more. Now, you know, they're digging in deep. They're, when there's blood in the water, the sharks are circling. So on Twitter, there's a whole, you know, Twitter, black Twitter, Twitter, whatever. There's a whole different universe. And legendary hip-hop artist, St. Albans, Queens native, Q-Tip of Tribe Called Quest, who also is a phenomenal performer, has affiliations with His Royal Badness. And I can go on and on. I mean, he's a respected and hip-hop legend more than two decades in the game. He gave a long, thoughtful treatise on his Twitter account addressing it to Iggy Azalea. He goes into almost a scholarly kind of thing, explaining hip-hop to her historically. You know, these are things like this is created from toasting in Jamaica and Kool Herc, and these are the children of the civil rights leadership, and you know he's going into all of this, and it's thoughtful and it's lengthy, right? And it's cool, but the first thing I say is to Q-Tip is, wait a minute, once a game. Did you give this history lesson to Barbie Schmurda, who's probably going to do a multiple-decade bib for gun running, allegedly? Did you give him? See, this is what I'm talking about. We have to deconstruct stupidity. And I love Q-Tip. I met Q-Tip personally years ago. I met Q-Tip personally at the Shark Bar in Manhattan. Very nice, thoughtful artist. He's not the problem when it comes to minstrel hip-hop. I mean, he talked about, what did he say famously? Record executives are shady.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, he's dropped some jewels. He's not the problem. But at the same time, how can someone be this intelligent? And I've seen him interviewed on many occasions. Not the problem once again. But he's giving a history lesson to Iggy Azalea, who just got here, and I say in quotes, yesterday, and you skipped Bobby Schmurda, who probably needs that history lesson more than Ms. Azalea. So I don't know what to do. The whole notion of hip-hop appropriation, I think, is about, can you do the damn job? And we could talk about Iggy Azalea's skill set. But the genre, as it is right now commercially, sucks. It sucks. The black product is a sucky product commercially. That is the issue we need to be talking about. She's just a fraction of the issue. And actually, she was able to get in there because the game is so bad right now, and the quality control. The quality control for commercial hip-hop is that there isn't any. There hasn't been quality control for decades, and it's gotten to the point now where someone like Ed Iggy can come in with bad minor skill set, just like Bobby Schmurda can come in, check out the audition tape on World Star Hip Hop, and I don't like telling people to go there. You can probably go to YouTube as well. Bobby Schmurda's audition performance for L.A. Reid. It might as well have been a minstrel show from 1835. It's on that level. Negative 10 in talent, and he was still given a contract. So, I mean, Captain, what are your thoughts? We got a caller. We'll get to that. What's the deal?
Well, you know, when Eminem first came out, there were a lot of people that had a problem with Eminem. But the biggest difference with Eminem is skilled, extremely
yes.
skilled. And he had to be at the given time. That's just what it was. All right? Eminem is talented. So when you're dealing with an Iggy, just as you said, Afro Nerd, right now the climate is, for major radio, that is, you know, commercial radio, major music, as they would say, it's not good. The talent is not there. It's a cesspool. We know this. You turn on the radio, listen to what's spinning. If I can look at you on stage and I can do what you can do, you should not be on the stage at this given time. I can't do what Eminem does. I could not do what Kool G Rap does. I could not do what Big Daddy Kane does.
I could not do what KRS-One was doing. I could not do what early LL was doing. Later on, some of the stuff he was doing I could have done. But, you know, not early LL Cool J. And I could go on and on and on and on with a whole list, a whole litany of artists that were that talented, that you would look at them and say, okay, I see why I'm buying your CD, why I'm buying your cassette tape. Now we're dealing with downloads, of course. There is no product. That's a whole other conversation. It's a whole other thing. But I can't really be mad at an Iggy at this given point. For what? She came along at the right time. It's the right climate. There you go. All right? And the only reason why they're saying stuff about her, because she's the white girl, and she's getting a lot of attention, and maybe rightfully so. She's with the right people. And that's just the reality of it. So you want her to speak about things that really are not affecting her. Clean up your own backyard first and deal with that. She's just there shaking up her booty like everyone else and just making some money. That's all. At the end of the day, back over to you, Sir Raffle Nerd.
Yes, we're going to go to a groove, then we go to the phones. Captain, as you said, you know, with this, our whole trope of I can do that. I'm pretty sure you could do the Shmoney dance, which is Bobby Shmurda's dance. I'm
exactly.
sure you could do that. That's the issue. You know, when you see someone like a Robert Plant or a Prince or a D'Angelo, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. I can't do that. But some of the minstrel stuff, oh, I can do that. Oh, certainly, I could do that. All right, we're going to go to the phones. Let's go to another Urban Alternative Groove, still folks giving you Christmas stuff. This is, this is a classic. Let's give a classic soul a shout-out. This is Wilson Pickett, Silver Bells. Silver Bells. We'll be right back. Let's groove.
City sidewalk, busy sidewalk, dressed in holiday style. And in the air, there's a feeling of Christmas. Laughing, people passing, meeting smiles, smiles. And on every corner, you hear it is silver bell, it's Christmas time. We'll be right back.
Michael's favorite artist, Wilson Pickett, Silver Bells. Folks, this is the Midweek in Review. Why can't I speak? The Midweek in Review edition, the Christmas Eve edition of Afro Nerd Radio, a.k.a. Afro Nerd, featuring Captain Kirk, giving you the best of urban alternative groove, black rock, psychedelic soul, acid jazz, progressive hip-hop. We play the good stuff. We play the stuff that, unfortunately, conventional radio absolutely refuses to play. You know, believe it or not, our Christmas is every day. We actually respect you. You're not going to hear Nicki Minaj. What you know, her last video, Captain, only, which was the JDL likened to a Lenny Riefenstahl video, one of the Nazi videos from old. And it definitely was supposed to channel that. And JDL, rightfully so, came down with the swiftness against Ms. Minaj. And, you know, she gave them an apology, the Jewish community, and yet black folks are still waiting for an apology for the hot mess, hot garbage that she gave us, and the B words, the N words, all of that stuff. And when you get into it, this is a black woman that's essentially giving you her art, which looks like a Klansman recruitment video. That's what it essentially is. That's another aspect of this hip-hop game, is that this hip-hop is so much of a minstrel thing now, not the real progressive stuff, the real talented stuff. It's so much of a minstrel game, it might as well be, even though it's a alleged black product, it might as well be Klansman's recruitment video. I said it. I don't think it can be deconstructed either. I think it is what it is. Anyway, let's go to the call. I'm going to try this once again with this caller. No shenanigans, straight talk, brief. I'm assuming this person is on the up and up. If not, I don't have time for this. So you got to be real. 661, Afro Nerd Radio. Tell us who you are, where you're calling from. What's up?
Hi, my name is Hatler.
Yeah.
And I like hip-hop radio, hip-hop nowadays. It's really good, especially when they say fuck, 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 shit, shit, shit.
All right. Captain, you know, you can see that he could barely get out his little joke. You know, I'm very curious about, like, people that have low intelligence, like how that works. You know, is he a literate person? Can he read a stop sign? Like, how do you survive in this world being that damn dumb? You call a show called Afro Nerd, you can't battle wits with us. So you get your rocks off by trying to, I don't know. I don't even know what that is. I mean, you could actually get something out of the show and learn something, but you waste your time by calling up a show. And I could tell from the first call that this was a goofball. But I said, let me humor this guy. He said he was a black person. Not that you can't always tell someone tonally their race. You can't always. But I could tell this was a white guy goofing around on Christmas. You know, it is what it is. I sometimes just humor you. Let me see what you got. And it's not much. All right. You know, listen, we got to deal with the minstrels of all shades, obviously. That's part of the problem. Not just black folks that are minstrels, folks. Don't get it twisted. You know, sometimes there's this belief that we weigh hard on black and, you know, black folk. No, this low denominator intelligence is rampant. It's rampant. All right. You know what I want to talk about, believe it or not? I want to talk about Starbucks. The CEO of Starbucks, Captain Howard Schultz, recently made an announcement / an initiative to his workers, I think at the Seattle branch, which is essentially the corporate center for Starbucks, and he said that he wanted the workers to to open up about racism. Like, he wanted to have a racial discussion. And I think he is or was affected by all this media attention, this media frenzy, in the belief that there's racial tension. And I'm not saying that there isn't racial tension. I'm not saying that isn't a situation, but I don't think it's as pervasive as people would like to think. I think that the media is very adroit in drumming this kind of stuff up and creating a hysteria that, you know, there's a racial thing. Matter of fact, when I was doing NPR a few years back, I was a regular guest on NPR like every month, courtesy of the Farai Chidea, journalist and friend of the show, Farai Chidea. We've had her as a guest as well. She had, and I have to respect her for that, and thanks to her for giving us that opportunity. Every month we have this blog, what was called the Bloggers Roundtable. Bloggers would come on and just talk about the weekly events. And there was a woman by the name of Jasmine Kanick. And you can go to Mediaite right now, Mediaite.com. And there's a video exchange of Ms. Kanick on Fox. And she tried to critique Fox while being a guest on Fox. And she went into this trope, Captain, of, because now it's sounding silly. It's on repeat. This statement, the statement that you hear now is, we have got to have a conversation on race. We've been hearing that for a few years now. I mean, that's how it is worded. We've got to have a conversation on race. And I'm saying, you know what? That's all we do is talk about race. That's all we do is talk about race. And I'm trying to figure out, what is the conversation supposed to be? I don't want to have a conversation. So I find it interesting. I mean, I bet Starbucks, it's a great company. The conversation I would like to have is, let's get black franchise ownership, more of it, in some of these urban centers. Because what happens is, if when you get a Starbucks in an urban environment, usually it becomes a harbinger of things to come. We saw that in Harlem. In Harlem,
yep.
I believe it might have been actually a Starbucks, but I know for sure it was a Ben and Jerry's. There was a Body Shop. There was a Pathmark, and there was Magic Johnson's Theaters. Once that happened, it was the symbolic ringing of the alarm for other folks to follow. You saw small black business ownership with funky shops that were coming in, shop owners, a skateboard shop. I don't know if it's still down there, but you had a skateboard shop. Hell, hopefully we'll see the third annual edition. But you had, at the Schomburg, a black Comic-Con in Harlem. So I'm more interested in having a conversation about black franchisees in urban areas than I am about these racial discussions. You know, I spoke to your predecessor behind the scenes before the broadcast, Iron Man, Mr. Starks, and, you know, we were talking about this thing. I mean, what kind of primitive ass-backward conversation am I going to have in 2015? When I say, well, look at my brown skin, look at my curly, quote-unquote, kinky hair, and my full lips. Look at your paler skin. Like, you know, look at how different we are, allegedly. I mean, what is this, the year 1202? Did we just discover fire? I'm just trying to figure out what kind of conversation. I mean, what is there to talk about? I mean, we're going to talk about how different we are, which is there is no difference in my, you know, because I'm elevated that way. I don't see the difference. You know, 10 fingers and toes, 2 eyes. I mean, you can replace body parts. You can procreate. I mean, it's the human experience. I mean, to talk about superficial differences in 2015, when I'd much rather talk about technology and space and comic books and business, psychological development, financial, fiduciary development. That's all I care about. You know, the interview comes on, it's going to be actually broadcast, I believe. Seth Rogen's interview film is going to be shown on Xbox and on YouTube tomorrow, Christmas Day, after all, and in limited theaters. Let's talk about that. I don't want to talk about, pardon me.
It's on YouTube. Okay.
Tomorrow. For a price. But okay. Let's talk about the New York Times. Let's talk about the Washington Post. I don't want to have a conversation sitting around looking at each other. I could care less. You know, we're going to go more in depth, I think, this weekend. We did speak about it briefly. I mean, this is a quote-unquote nerd show. We did speak about Ascension briefly. The great Daryl B. spoke about Ascension, but I want to have a deeper conversation because I actually got around to seeing it. I don't know if you saw it, Captain, but it is terrific.
Yeah, I saw it. Yep, I saw it. It's better than I thought. Better than I thought.
Mad Men in Space, essentially. For those who... I don't want to give a spoiler alert, but let's assume it's in space.
It has its limitations, though, the way it's set up.
But you know what? It's a lot of stuff, though, Captain. They threw everything in. It's everything is in there. That and Marco Polo. I'm like three-quarters through Marco Polo.
I haven't watched that.
And you... it's on Netflix, it's also on the internet, And I'm looking at it, and I'm looking at beautiful Asian people. Beautiful Indian
so
people.
Far.
Is it good?
Yeah, Marco Polo.
I don't know.
Yes,
it's good. You know what it is? $90 million. It's lush. It makes me
good.
Confident as to what we may see with Daredevil. Being in Hell's Kitchen, if you can make this expansive $90 million 10-episode epic for Netflix, I'm sure you could do a high-quality Daredevil, or rather that whole Marvel arc, Daredevil and Luke Cage and all that stuff. But my whole thing is, it was good to see folks of color. Even though it wasn't necessarily black folk, but you did see, of the Eastern world, beautiful Asian women, a lot of nudity, by the way, a lot of nudity, which I can appreciate, Anyway, I'm a man. But that's something that was talked about, Captain, is that you don't really see this multiracial casting. Like as much as they would want to critique Marco Polo, to see actors of color, different spectrum. You're talking about Asian folk now, South Pacific Asian, Middle Eastern, Easterners, that world of antiquity in Asia. We're talking about Kublai Khan, Genghis Khan's grandson, that whole Khan dynasty. Some of it is historical. Some of it may be, dramatic Hollywood license. Whatever. The overarching thing is we're seeing folks of color doing it in a beautiful way, something that Exodus didn't get the email on, and it's failing at the box office because everyone cross-racially wants some degree of truth when it comes to these kind of depictions. So that's why I'm a little confused as to we're going to have to chop it up on Saturday for me. I'm going to see the remainder of it after this broadcast. But I certainly liked looking at it. I liked looking at not the tropey Euro perspective, even though Marco himself is Italian, obviously. But it's his introduction to the Eastern universe. And that has to be applauded on some level. That has to be applauded. So there's things that are going on that I can appreciate. That I want to see the real. Now we need to start getting. Now we need to see also some African mythology, some African mythological, because they are branding this as kind of sort of in the same realm as the Game of Thrones. But the Game of Thrones represents a Euro standard of fantasy and mythology. This is an Eastern. Repeat that again.
I said I never liked Game of Thrones.
I can't get into it. I mean, well, you know what? To be fair, from what I saw, the acting is top-notch. So I may have to go there at one point because I have to concede to the talent. But I guess I grow weary of constantly looking at that same Euro standard. You know, I look at a lot of Euro standards. We grew up on that. We're immersed in it. So it's okay, but it's not the only story. Not the only story. So I gotta give kudos to the folks behind Marco Polo and Netflix, but in the same token, let's get other folks, let's get some of these African stories, an African mythological fantasy story. I mean, maybe, listen, I guess Black Panther might suffice, 2017 November. That's going to be an aspect of that. But we need to see more of that. These kids have to dream. And it also, you know, it's good for people. It's good for white folks to see this stuff. They want to be entertained. I think you hear this. They don't want to see themselves all the time. They've seen it up to death. Let's see other perspectives. Let's see this, the grandiosity of beauty. You know? That's it. Still a lot on the table. Folks that I did not get to, we got about 30 seconds remaining. We'll pick this up on Saturday's broadcast. We'll bring the uncanny in, Uncanny Daryl B. A lot to discuss going into 2015, a lot of expectations. So anything else, Captain? We got about 20 seconds remaining.
No, that's it. Feliz Navidad.
Yeah. All right, folks, more urban alternative, classic soul groove, Christmas jams. This is the Staple Singers. Who took the merry out of Christmas? See you on Saturday, 6 p.m. It's been real.